Why stand still when you can run headfirst into a wall? You're listening to the Jocular Pugilists. Today is our second annual Thanksgiving podcast.
Well, the holiday season is officially upon us. Before you know it, people are going to start putting their Christmas decorations up. I'm going to say as early as this weekend, you'll see Christmas decorations being put up. Although I have to say, in our area, I've seen people that have such little control with their Christmas decorating that as soon as Halloween is over, they start putting up Christmas decorations.
Are you Christmas decorations? Are you serious?
Yeah, they're like heroin addicts with their Christmas decorations. They're so addicted, they take it out as soon as they possibly can. Some people don't ever put it away.
I gotta say, Stacy's really great about segmenting. She'll put out the Halloween stuff, then she'll take down most of the Halloween stuff, and then do Thanksgiving for a little bit, and then she takes those down and does Christmas. It's really, really cool.
I like that better. Is she right away? Is she the day after Halloween she takes it down? Does she let it go a couple days?
No, day after. I show up. As a matter of fact, I had a Happy Halloween pillow for her.
Threw it in a box right away, put it in the garage.
Yeah, she was literally like, you better get that to me because we've only got three more days before it gets put away.
We're not that good. We usually take a couple of days. Plus, I like Halloween decorations.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I like the Christmas decorations. In my apartment in Boston, after you left, I had a different apartment. And I spent 1 year where I put up stockings and lights and all this stuff. And then it was such a pain in the ass to put it up. I just left it there for 3 years in
a row.
That's
part of the problem, right? Because putting it up is exciting, too. I mean, I know it's a lot of work, but you get to see it and enjoy it. Like, it's going to be great. So, you know, there's at least you can trick yourself into thinking it's exciting. Right? But putting it away is depressing and it's time consuming. It's difficult. It's much easier to leave it out.
It's like the drive home from vacation. You never want to drive home. The drive there is exciting. The drive home, you're just annoyed.
And I would say traditionally, people put away their Christmas decorations usually the day after New Year's.
Right. Well, and the tree starts turning brown. You know, you really do have to get rid of that thing.
Yeah, and I've been guilty of leaving the tree up a little bit too long, where it just starts to disintegrate.
I was amazed you had a Christmas tree, pre-Tracy.
It just turned into the Snoopy tree in the end. I have to say that the tree in the beginning really wasn't all that spectacular. We're talking about a pretty sad tree in the beginning. By the time it was through, it was really sad. And you never were able to get all those pine needles up. They would be forever. When we moved, we were still finding pine needles. I bet you the people that live there now, two or three people after us, are still finding pine needles from my Christmas tree.
Yeah, it's so sad when you buy a Christmas tree and it's weighed down. It bends over from one ornament. It's not looking so good.
That does sound like a sad tree. Could it possibly be that you've inserted yourself into one of those Snoopy cartoons? I don't think I ever had a tree that sad, but close. Well, for something to be a tradition, it has to happen more than once. And this is our second Giving Thanks podcast. It has become a tradition. What we do is we read some reviews. We thank our reviewers and our listeners for taking time out of their busy day to spend time with the Pugilists. We also lay some facts on you because we like to do that kind of thing.
I'm ready.
And I have to mention this before we start. On the last podcast, I'm going to be a little redundant here. In the last podcast, I mentioned that, you know, we sound like third graders when we're reading these reviews, but as if we've had suffered some brain trauma in our past, which we both have. But putting our collective concussions aside, let me paint the picture of what's going on for Phil and I right at this moment. We're sitting in front of our computers. Phil lives in LA. I live in New York. I'm looking at Phil on a Zoom chat. Phil's looking at me on his Zoom chat. We have microphones in front of us. We also are running audio programs to record our voices. And on that same screen, we have to read. Can be a little bit difficult, especially for us.
Reading's not our strong suit.
No, it's not. And although it's fundamental, we have a fundamental difficulty doing all three of those things at the same time. The very first review we're going to read, it comes from Long Tall Joe.
Great name, by the way.
everything I love about a podcast. Interesting, authentic, engaging, fun. It got me thinking, and there were some really funny laugh out loud moments too. Two very talented guys. Very talented, Phil. We're very talented.
Who is this person?
A very smart person, apparently. Two very talented guys who have great chemistry and are very easy to listen to. It's definitely number one on my podcast list now. Wow, that's very nice. I can't wait to hear more from these jocular pugilists. Great name, too, by the way.
Somebody who gets the name. That's a great test. When I tell somebody the name of the podcast, if they get it immediately, you're my person. You know what I mean?
I do have to say, most people don't love it at first, but it grows.
It grows on you like a fungus. All right, here we go. The Joy of Conversations, and this is by The Jesset. The jocular pugilists offer a welcome reminder of the human pastime of deliberation. Brings me back. Here's where the reading goes off the rails. Brings me back to the days before Wi-Fi. Heart, heart. Oh, I like that.
Or is it's here? That's not a T.
Maybe I should put my glasses on. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so. Proving my point?
Yep, absolutely. I'm always there for you.
Well, last time I gave you some just interesting facts. Like, you know, we talked about how Thanksgiving, the day after Thanksgiving, is the busiest day for plumbers. And then it went down from there. But I thought maybe I'd give you a little bit more historical facts. Now, we've been talking about harvest festivals. So a lot of this we've already talked about in recent podcasts.
Right.
So I hope I'm not being too redundant here. But Phil, do you know where the first Thanksgiving was?
Plymouth Rock?
It was physically on Plymouth Rock.
They just set up a little table right there, a little cloth. Yeah.
Well, you're right. It was in Plymouth. The colonists and the Wampanoag tribe shared an autumn harvest in 1621 in Plymouth, Massachusetts, where it's widely acknowledged as the very first Thanksgiving for the United States of America. We had talked about this before, Phil. There are other Thanksgivings. We talked a little bit about the Thanksgiving that is celebrated in Canada in an earlier podcast.
Sure.
But
ours is the best.
Well, you don't want to say that. We actually have people that listen around the world. So let's be nice.
I know.
He doesn't think that.
I don't think that. I mean, I do, but I...
Oh, really?
But for these purposes, I don't.
I don't. So for some historians argue that Florida, not Massachusetts, may actually have been the first place that America celebrated Thanksgiving. In 1565, nearly 60 years before Plymouth, a Spanish fleet came ashore planting a cross in the sandy beach to christen the settlement of St. Augustine. To celebrate the arrival and give thanks to God's providence, 800 Spanish settlers shared a festive meal with the native, let's see if I can say this, Tinuquan. I have no idea if that's the way you pronounce it, but they shared a meal with the native people. So proving not only can I not read, I can also not pronounce.
Oh, this is going off the rails really early on. I love it.
This is from, I cannot read it, Urgester. Fantastic chemistry between the host. A pleasure to listen to. Looking forward to more episodes. Episodes? I put an R in episodes. Holy crap. I'm not drinking.
Have we had a couple Bloody Marys before today's podcast? What's going on?
You know what it is, man? I got a lot going on today, and I'm getting my gear ready because I'm out. I'm teaching, and I have a session. So I'm like, all I have in my head is I got to get this going. I'm going to have fun, but I got to get this done in time so I can get out of here.
Fair enough. How about let's talk about the Macy's Day Parade. The parade started in 1924. When Herbert Strauss announces 2 weeks before Thanksgiving that he's going to do this great parade starting at 145th Street in Harlem.
Okay.
The parade went 6 miles down winding streets all around, and it ended at Macy's. And of course, it's known for the balloons and all these floats and whatever. But they say on that first one, up to 1 million people, some say, you know, a couple hundred thousand, but up to 1 million people joined the parade march. Now, they weren't sitting on the sidelines. They were actually following the parade.
Oh, that's interesting.
After the success of this is was a big deal. Macy's entered into a contract with NBC, and they ended up trimming the route down to 2.5 miles. This was when they could televise it.
Okay.
And then they continued the parade, you know, until today. I don't know if you've ever done it, but I've watched it on TV. It's a lot of fun.
So I've been to it. I've been to the Macy's Day Parade, but it's, you know, been quite a long time. I went when I was a young child, Phil. And I remember being really cold and I couldn't see much. And my father picking me up, you know, I was probably 7 at the time, to see the parade. And I have to say, my recollection then is that I was not having a great time, even though I was a kid. And wow, look at the balloons. It doesn't appeal to me tons now, but it's nice. It's a, you know, it's tradition to turn it on and watch the parade.
Yeah. There is not enough hot chocolate to make that cold day
enjoyable.
Fun. Yeah, no.
That's when you get the way too hot chocolate and it burns your mouth. So you're freezing and then you're in pain because you're burnt mouth.
I remember those Thanksgivings.
Who is Herbert Strauss?
Herbert Strauss was the co-owner of Macy's.
He's not the person who started Macy's. That's... I couldn't resist. We're always learning. Had to look it up. So this is how it started. In the 1800s, Roland Macy opened a bunch of dry goods stores in Massachusetts. They all failed. Then finally, in 1858, he moved to New York City and opened R.H. Macy & Company on 6th Avenue between 13th and 14th Street. As the business grew, he kept buying up buildings around it, expanding and expanding the store. He was a master businessman. He was one of the very first people, if not the very first person, to entice people to come to the store in the ways that he did, such as meeting Santa Claus. That was in the 1800s, apparently. And he also had other themed exhibits, as well as theme the store for each holiday season. Money-back guarantees. Apparently, he was one of the very first people to offer that. You also, at that point, can have a tailor-made suit or dress from Macy's. You can't do that anymore. In 1875, Macy passed away, and his second-in-command, if you will, LaForge, was his name. Believe it or not, I'm thinking of Star Wars track right now, but I'm doubting it's that LaForge. He died a year later. The ownership of the company passed to his family. The family then sold it to the Strauss brothers. That's who Phil's talking about.
Yeah, so Herbert Strauss in 1924 was one of the co-owners.
Oh, okay.
You see that? I taught you something.
Little facts. Phil, why don't you read another?
This is from PacMac 99. Fantastic. So true. It's good to hear people talking and thinking about things like this. And it's funny. Keep up the good work. So I'm assuming they're talking about a specific episode, but we will never know which one they're referring to.
So what would you think they ate at the first Thanksgiving meal?
Turkey.
One would think.
Corn.
One would think. The Thanksgiving meal in Plymouth probably had little in common with today's traditional holiday spread. Although turkeys were indigenous, there's no record of a big roasted bird at the feast. The Wampanoag brought deer, and there would have been lots of local seafood, such as lobster, mussels, bass, as well as the fruits of the pilgrims' harvest, which would have included pumpkins. So there could have been pumpkins there, but probably no pumpkin pie. I'm assuming, though. But probably, let's say most likely no pumpkin pie. And the other starch probably missing from the table would have been potatoes. Now, although potatoes are indigenous to South America, not North America, but South America, at that point they had already been brought back to Europe. But the pilgrims and the natives didn't eat potatoes. Isn't that crazy? They had a Thanksgiving without mashed potatoes. I'm assuming they also didn't have gravy, but that's just, how did it happen? No gravy, no mashed potatoes, and no football game. What kind of Thanksgiving was that?
Is somebody just making this up? Because how do we know what they served at the, where are they getting this?
They found a menu. So Campwoods 18 reviewed our very first episode, giving us 4 stars.
Oh, no.
Saying, very engaging conversation. Well done. That is actually our only 4-star review. Well, but, you know, if that's what you think, that's what you think. And thank you for the review. We thank everybody. Yeah. And by the way, we really do. We thank everyone for their reviews, because the only thing you can do to support the podcast right now is to give us a review, and it's very helpful.
It is really fun to see them pop up. Whenever they pop up, it's a big deal to off air. It's a big deal to Tomas and I. We get all excited and read it, and it's fun.
Yes.
Okay, the next one, great podcast. This is from Mark Castrion. Insightful, educational, and the hosts really keep things moving and interesting. We'll definitely recommend to friends. Thanks, Mark.
Fantastic. That's all right, great. Well, let's see. Phil, little fact for us?
Let's go to football. It is my favorite sport. I love watching football. And of course, football has been inextricably linked to Thanksgiving since the very first Thanksgiving football game in 1876, played by, you want to take a guess?
Harvard.
Close. Yale and Princeton. Played the very first Thanksgiving game. And by 1890, high schools and colleges were playing across the nation. Speaking of, we had a great high school rivalry in our hometown. So you went to Stepanak High School. I went to White Plains High School. And on Thanksgiving, they would play each other.
Right.
And they would right up at the Highlands, right by your house. So
that's true. I remember that. For those of you that are listening, Phil and I went to opposing high schools that played each other. Our high schools played each other on Thanksgiving Day, which is so crazy. I completely forgot about that. And I went to a Catholic school, being a good Catholic boy, and Phil went to a public school, being the devious soul that he is.
It was a great way to meet up with everybody on Thanksgiving. You know, you'd see all your friends.
Yeah.
You'd be drinking hot cocoa or coffee or whatever you wanted. Some people would sneak in, you know, drinks. Later in high school, you started sneaking in drinks. And it was a great way to meet up with people when you were coming back from college. You were visiting for Thanksgiving. If you were back, it was terrific.
That's absolutely true.
So then the NFL gets involved, and in the 1920s, they began scheduling Thanksgiving games. And by 1966, the Dallas Cowboys got involved. Now, they're known as America's football team, in quotes, because I think it's the New York Giants, but, you know, we can debate that another time. They played every game, every Thanksgiving game, except for 1975 and 1977, and I have no idea why they didn't play those games. The other thing that became popular, I think, in the 80s, I could be wrong, maybe the 90s, is the turducken. Tomas, do you know what the turducken is?
I do know what the turducken is. Never had one, though. Seems like too much meat.
Well, for everybody listening, probably a decent amount of people know what it is, but what would that
be? I've never had it, but I believe somehow you're getting a duck and a turkey and melding them into one big meaty celebration. One is inside another or something.
Close. You forgot the chicken. So it's a turkey. I think the way they do it is the chicken inside the duck inside the chicken inside the turkey, I think, is the way they have to.
Oh my God,
do.
That's so wrong. It's like a horror movie.
It does. It's like the centipede, like the animal version of that movie, The Centipede. Anyway, guess who's playing this Thanksgiving, 1:25 my time, 4:25 your time? The Dallas Cowboys and the New York Giants. So today, when you're listening, hopefully right now in the morning on Thanksgiving, you can watch the Dallas Cowboys lose to the New York Giants in football today. So super exciting. I'm very excited. Poor Stacy, I feel so bad because I was asking her, so what time are we having dinner? She's cooking this year. And she said, oh, 3:00. And I said, huh, how about we move that to 4:30 after the football game? Because you don't want me screaming in the middle of it at the dinner table when they
you guys
score.
Having a lot of people over?
We're not sure how many. So it's definitely going to be Stacy, her mom, Connor, myself, one of her friends, Sally. But every year we always go over to her friends, Kirk and Kirsten, and their daughter, Scarlett, is around Connor's age. And they may be coming over this year, but they had COVID, so we're not really sure whether they're ready to come or not.
Cool. I'm going to read three reviews altogether because they're all short. Guitar Goo 1949 said, awesome and funny, and gave us 5 stars. Inner Space to Outer Space by Real is Real gave us 5 stars, saying, I love these guys. And Food for Thought from Cookie Face, and this is the best one, I absolutely love this one, said, I would pay $9.99 for this podcast at Applebee's. That was from Cookie Face. That's my favorite.
That is
short,
my favorite.
But potent.
Excellent review. All right.
I love it.
That's great.
All right. So let me give you some facts. When did America first call for a national Thanksgiving holiday. Do you know? We actually talked about this in an earlier podcast.
1863, Abraham Lincoln.
So, no. And which proves, everybody, that Phil doesn't listen to our own podcast because I talked about it before. This is interesting. I have my own facts on this, but I'm reading the History Channel's facts. I'll see if they agree with me. America first called for a national day of Thanksgiving to celebrate the victory over the British at the Battle of Saratoga. It was in 1789 by George Washington. So George Washington was the first person to try to institute Thanksgiving, right? He called for a National Day of Thanks on the last Thursday of November to commemorate the end of the Revolutionary War and the ratification of the Constitution. During the Civil War, both the Confederacy and the Union had issued Thanksgiving proclamations following major victories. So basically, this Thanksgiving celebration isn't something that's uniquely... Well, that's why there's Thanksgivings all around the world. It's not uniquely American. We're just very... American... I'm one. We have a tendency not to look outward. We go, oh, this is us. And if we see it somewhere else, well, someone else has that. What would they be thankful for? It's just... Pompous American silliness. It's Thanksgivings basically are a way to give thanks usually for your country, for a victory, for something that is could have gone poorly but went well, and we give thanks.
Okay, so we have another review from T. Dixon 608. And it's great podcast with an exclamation point. I love the exclamation points. I highly recommend making this podcast a part of your routine if you enjoy listening to genuine, thought-provoking conversations. Wow, that's really, really
Which
cool.
Which president refused to recognize Thanksgiving, Phil?
Donald Trump?
No. Obviously, it's not George Washington because he wanted to institute it. Who was the president after George Washington? Actually, who was the third president?
John Adams? Jefferson.
Thomas Jefferson was famously the only founding father, early president, who refused to declare days of Thanksgiving and feasting in the United States of America. Unlike his political rivals, the Federalists, Jefferson believed in a wall of separation between church and state and believed that endorsing celebrations such as Thanksgiving as president would amount to state-sponsored religious celebrations.
Wow, great fact. That's a really good one.
Yeah.
Although we have a separation in church and state, it feels like church has always sort of been involved in government.
Yeah, I think so.
In God we trust. It's on the dollar bill.
Yeah, well, so Jefferson might not have liked that, you know? I wonder if it was on the dollar bill back then.
I don't think there was a dollar bill.
So another review we could do. How about I do this one? Hilariously put together from Kingdom Mega 12. These guys are a joy to listen to. Really fun talks. We'll definitely be listening to this one moving forward. Thank you.
Excellent. I love it. All right. Let me read this one. You ready? Too Honest. This is by Jaded Primate. Is that right?
Yes.
Jaded Primate. Okay.
I love that.
The truth hurts, but it's also funny. Good chemistry and insight. A podcast that keeps it real. I love that. These are really good, these reviews. People are so smart.
Now, we know about this because I spoke about it in a podcast very recently, but the first official proclamation of a national holiday of Thanksgiving came in 1863, and this is what you were thinking of, Phil, President Lincoln. He was the first person to make it official.
Wow, I got the date right, too.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Did you really? So, but George Washington was the first person to say there should be a Thanksgiving. He made it official, President Lincoln. And the proclamation was the result of years of impassioned lobbying from the author of Mary Had a Little Lamb, Sarah Hale. So she was really into it for some reason. And she incessantly bothered President Lincoln until he finally gave in and said, okay, enough's enough. We'll make it a holiday. Which I think, you know, that's nice. Another review, Awesome Sauce by Dark Lord. The Dark Lord. The Dark Lord is listening. The King of the Dark World likes our podcast.
Be kind with this review, Tomas. I don't want any retribution from the Dark Lord.
These guys are amazing. Best thing to come along since the Musicians Lab. I listen to them moving forward noon and night. Can't get enough. The Musician Lab, if you're unsure, is a podcast that I did about 14 years ago, way back in the beginning of podcasting. So if you'd like to hear it, it's three musicians talking only about music. So it's music and guitar playing and silly guitar, geeky stuff like that. It was fun.
I am going to go into something that I love looking at or thinking about, which is TV. TV Thanksgivings, the best and most fun TV Thanksgiving episodes. Are you ready for this?
There's a really famous one that's every year, everyone.
That's probably the first one I'm going to talk about. The Charlie Brown Thanksgiving.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I was thinking.
You know what I realized? I was watching it, and I think that is the first Friendsgiving ever on television.
Oh, yeah.
There were no parents at that Thanksgiving.
That's absolutely true. That's right? Well, there's never parents. There's no, the only heads you ever saw were the kids, right?
Pretty
the camera was always below the head of the adult. You know, it's funny. There's a famous scene in that Thanksgiving when they're celebrating Thanksgiving, and then sort of on the side or somewhere else, Snoopy is celebrating Thanksgiving with Tweety Bird, and Tweety Bird is eating the Thanksgiving turkey, which I just thought...
Oh, don't say it. Oh.
So I thought, does that make Tweety Bird a cannibal?
First of all, he's not Tweety Bird. Tweety Bird is the Looney Tunes.
Oh, right. That's right. I'm such a dummy. What's... Oh, my God. Now forget the name.
What is it? Woodstock?
Maybe.
Or yeah, something?
Maybe.
I don't remember, but it wasn't Tweety Bird. Anyway.
I thought a putty cat.
And what was wild about it is... For the dinner that they made for Friendsgiving, it was toast and popcorn.
But they had this huge bird. So that was the joke. Okay, I can't. I've seen it sometimes, but I can't remember it. What's another one? What's another famous?
Super famous Friends Thanksgiving episodes were just infamous. And my two favorites, there were two really, really great ones. I know you've never watched Friends, so I'm on my own on this one.
You were totally on your own.
I will try and describe it. One was where they all played football outside while the turkey was cooking. Okay. It set up this rivalry between Monica and Ross, who were brother and sister. They weren't allowed to play football because when they were kids, they fought over what was called the Geller Cup, which was basically a 2x4 with a troll doll nailed into the top of it. That's what this thing was. The episode played out in a really funny way. But the better one, the even better one, was the one with all the Thanksgivings. They were all remembering their worst Thanksgiving. And so it was different times in their lives. And Ross and Chandler would always have different haircuts. One year, Chandler showed up with a Flock of Seagulls haircut. And the next year, they both showed up looking like Don Johnson. You know, it was really, really good. It was fun. So those episodes are classic. So this one's from Aaron Graff. It's very interesting, is the title. I listened to the first two podcasts and I'm hooked. I love it. I found both subjects interesting. I'm also a big Star Wars fan, so episode 2 was right up my alley. I loved the music, jingles, and the way they added in the appropriate sound effects.
Wow, that was nice. It's nice to know you're appreciated, don't you think, Phil? I'd say that we really like Star Wars, but we're not, well, at least I really like Star Wars, but I'm not super passionate about it. And it's really the older Star Wars. So once you start talking about something that someone is really into, they're most likely going to know more than us.
And by the way, we're never experts on anything we talk about, pretty much. So we're open to constructive criticism and people saying, like, that's no problem. Okay, back to the TV. So this one, I'm sure I really hope you know. Do you remember WKRP in Cincinnati?
I do, yeah. I mean, I haven't seen it forever, since I was a kid.
Neither have I, but I did watch just a clip of this because I remembered it, and so I looked it up. It was the Turkey Drop episode. WKRP was a radio station in Cincinnati in this sitcom from the 70s. It's a great, great show. And they were doing an on-air promotion where they were going to drop turkeys, which is crazy anyway. They were going to drop turkeys on the crowd. They were giving away free turkeys for Thanksgiving. Which, by the way, those would be like bombs dropping out of a helicopter anyway, which is insane enough. But then they also, they decided to drop live turkeys.
You know what? I vaguely remember this.
So they dropped live turkeys and forgot to use parachutes for the turkeys. So the on air, the Les Nessman is sitting there with a microphone reporting on these live turkeys dropping out of the sky and landing on the cement. And I mean, just chaos ensues, you can imagine. So it was a great episode. Really, really fun.
Awesome. Yeah. I'm going to give you another Thanksgiving fact. How long has the pumpkin pie been a traditional part of Thanksgiving dinner, Phil?
I'll be guessing, but I'll say 1945?
Well, according to the History Channel, pumpkin pie was a staple on the New England Thanksgiving table as early as the 18th century, so the 1700s.
Oh.
Well, wow. So it wasn't an official holiday, but people apparently still celebrated it and ate pumpkin pie. Legend has it that the Connecticut town of Cloyster postponed its Thanksgiving feast for a week in 1705 due to a molasses shortage. So the sugar they were using was molasses to sweeten their pumpkin pie. They postponed it. There could be no Thanksgiving without a pumpkin pie. So they actually postponed Thanksgiving because of a molasses shortage.
That's interesting. I've had plenty of Thanksgivings without pumpkin pie, and I'm fine with it.
So am I right in assuming you're not a big pumpkin pie fan?
I mean, it's fine. I much prefer apple or mince pie or...
Did Phil just say minced pie? Spoiled minced pie, governor! Since when does his family serve a mince pie? I'm going to doubt that one. I'll second that. Apple pie, whipped cream, little ice cream, vanilla ice cream on an apple pie, whipped cream is a beautiful thing.
Let me tell a quick story about an apple pie, and I think this is on Thanksgiving.
I have a pumpkin pie, sorry.
So we were all sitting around the table at my grandmother's at the time, and my aunt made apple pie. She was excited because she was responsible for the dessert, you know, and so it came out, and we all started eating it, and at once, we all realized at the same time that she had forgotten to put the sugar in the apple pie.
Exactly the same story. I have the exact same story, but it's with pumpkin.
You're kidding
pie.
Me.
So apples have some, I mean, pumpkin has a little bit of sugar in it too, but apples can have a little bit, I would say most likely has more sugar than a pumpkin in it, right? So pumpkin pie without sugar? Wow! Yowzers! And it was my beautiful wife. I'm going to put her under the bus.
Oh, no.
She brought a pumpkin pie to a Thanksgiving celebration that had no sugar in it that she made. It was pretty special.
It's so fun because nobody wants to be the one to say.
Exact same thing. Everyone at the table is like looking at each other. Do we tell Tracy? Tracy's the sweetest human being on the planet Earth, too. So
absolutely.
You want to be nice. It's so funny. Same thing. So I wonder how many other people have had that exact same experience.
Write in if you want to. Write in on the review about your Thanksgiving
exact
experience.
Exact same experience. All right. Now I have a review from Caxophone. Great stuff. Very entertaining and thought-provoking. I still don't know if it's possible to be completely honest, but I honestly enjoyed listening to these guys trying to work that out. So that's the very first podcast. Is it possible to be honest with
How
you?
Can we be sure that the person was being honest in the review if they're not?
If they don't, that's a very good point, Phil. That is. All right. That is a very good point. What's another TV show?
Okay. So here's one that's interesting to me because it's a Seinfeld Thanksgiving. Now, Seinfeld... If you're a fan, you know they never do anything normally. They're going to do a Thanksgiving episode without ever showing a turkey, without ever talking about Thanksgiving, without ever anything.
Right. Okay.
And the way they did that was there was a party that Jerry didn't get invited to. Tim Watley, who, by the way, was played by Bryan Cranston, who ended up being Walter White. So it was fun to see him, you know, in Seinfeld.
Oh, wow.
But he ends up going to the party anyway. Tim Watley is a dentist. He's leaning back at the windowsill so a dentist can look at his teeth. And he knocks over some trophy that's sitting on the edge. So it falls down and punctures the Woody Woodpecker balloon. the Woody Woodpecker
I gotta balloon. See this.
Just completely deflates. And of course, Tim Watley, who didn't invite Jerry there in the first place, is pissed off. That's the Seinfeld version of Thanksgiving.
Depending on how motivated, we should put a list of the shows in the podcast description. So you if it's not there, we weren't motivated enough to do it, or we were way too busy, one of the two.
Hilarious from Carol Mack 13. I could visualize the stories belly breaking with an emoji. We've got an emoji. I'm hooked.
First emoji. Thank you, Carol Mack. Very much appreciated. Phil, did you know when we started canning cranberries?
No, I do not, Tomas. Why don't you tell me when we started canning cranberries?
Well, cranberries were eaten by Native Americans and used as a potent red dye. So they would use the red from the cranberry to dye things. But sweetened cranberry relish was almost certainly not on the first Thanksgiving table. The pilgrims had long exhausted their sugar supply by 1621. Marcus Arran canned the very first jelly cranberry sauce in 1912 and eventually founded the Cranberry Growers Cooperative, known as Ocean Spray.
That is interesting.
This is from Roll With Soul. Keep them coming. 5 stars, thank you. It says thankful and fun.
It actually says thoughtful.
Oh,
but okay. Okay.
Thoughtful and fun. Well, I'm thinking of Thanksgiving. Thoughtful and fun. A great rapport between friends, except for when he corrects me, a-hole. Love the banter and find myself smiling and listening. Keep them coming. Could you now bless us with another Thanksgiving-themed sitcom episode?
So, are you familiar with the show How I Met Your Mother?
Nope.
It's a great show. It takes place in New York City, and it's a bunch of friends. It kind of filled the void when Friends was going off the air. I think they were coming on. So they were sort of a new version of Friends. And on Thanksgiving, they created something called Slapsgiving. What Slapsgiving is there was a bet between Marshall, who is this huge guy, he's played by Jason Segel, and Barney, played by Neil Patrick Harris, not a massive guy. And they had a bet. The person who lost the bet was Barney. And that means this massive Jason Segel gets to slap him 3 times. 3 slaps. And the slaps were devastating. You have to, I can't even describe it. You have to watch it for yourself to see how funny the slaps are. And it makes me want to institute Slapsgiving at the next Friendsgiving. I can't do it at Stacy's, but I want to do it with Friends because I think it'd be so funny.
Did you know that a botched order of turkeys at a large company led to the creation of the TV tray dinner?
I did not know.
In 1953, an employee at Swanson & Sons overestimated the demand for Thanksgiving turkey, and the company was left with 260 extra tons of frozen birds. So as a solution, they ordered 5,000 aluminum trays. They devised a turkey meal, right, with all the accoutrements. And that was the beginning of the first TV tray dinner.
Carrots and peas, mashed potatoes, and a fruit cup.
That's right. Did you know also that this year, because of inflation, apparently, I don't know if it was Swanson, but Hungry Man, I believe, is putting less in their TV tray dinners. They were caught because they were trying to save money. Things were more expensive. They were caught and they apologized and said, we're going to put the same amount in. We're going to up the amount, even though, but we'll raise the price.
By the way, they're not the only ones doing that right now. But anyway, we've probably gone long, but before we end, we have to say what we're grateful for. And the very first thing, of course, are the listeners and the people who keep coming back every week. Thank you so much for being part of the show and for leaving the reviews. It's why we started this last year.
Absolutely. We are truly grateful and thankful for all our listeners, and particularly for the ones that have left comments and rated the podcast. Incredibly helpful. Thank you so much. Phil, what are you thankful for?
I have the greatest family on the planet. I mean, I hate to say that because then that makes everybody else's family feel bad, but I just am so lucky with the family that I have. And I miss them all because they're back in New York. I don't get to go back for Thanksgiving because I typically go back for Christmas.
Anyway. And Phil, because you're bringing up family, I feel it's only right for me to say right now that my family, unfortunately, is going through a difficult time. My father has some health issues, and it's, you know, times like these, we all go through them, and it's time like these, you realize how precious every moment in your life is, particularly with the people that you love. And I'm going to go back to what we've said before in podcasts as sort of a running theme. You know, time is precious. Can't we get along? That's sort of the theme of the podcast. Can't we just get along? There's got to be some way where we can come to the table and just, we can agree to disagree, but let's get along. So particularly for this Thanksgiving, if I have any wish, it would be for us to somehow heal our world a little bit.
Right. And I want to give one more really big thank you to Stacy and her family. Her and her family, Shelby and Connor, took me in basically during the pandemic. I mean, you know, I would bounce back and forth between my place and her place, but I spent a lot of time with them, and it was...
Were you like the kid in the bubble? Did they have, you know how they, remember that remember that John Travolta movie where he was in a bubble?
No, I wasn't allowed to go anywhere, though.
That would have been awesome. They just had you in the backyard in a bubble.
Here's your Thanksgiving dinner, but how am I going to... Never mind.
I love to hate you, and I hate to love you, and you still are a conduit for my anger. I'm thankful to have that conduit.
I am very, very grateful and thankful that you are my friend.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Happy Thanksgiving.
See ya.